Welcome into the 11 o'clock hour. Would love to get your thoughts on this one. 913-586-7798. The Kansas City Star did a really deep look at what has been going on in the KCK Fire Department, where, let me be clear, KCK or KCMO? No, it's KCMO because it's Liberty. Kansas City, Missouri Fire Department. The latest case that we are talking about is a case of a captain with the Kansas City Fire Department who has had four cases, or had, he's no longer employed there, but was able to accrue four cases of driving while intoxicated since 2016. The most recent case was in 2023, and since then, he left the department, although we don't know exactly why. They're not saying if he was terminated or not. There are questions here about the influence of the union, but all four of these driving while intoxicated cases for Captain Christopher Siegel happened when he was employed by KCFD. The Star also uncovered a bunch of other situations in which you had those working for the fire department who were accused of some pretty serious crimes and kept their jobs.
Yeah, it's this specific case is just galling because it was his fourth DWI or DUI, whichever one you want to call it. He was employed for 16 months afterwards from until October 1st, 2024. And that one that he got was horrifying.
Yeah.
He, granted, had not hit anybody. Fortunately, had not killed anybody. He was driving his truck without passenger side tires, not just on the front, but on the back too. Both passenger side tires gone, not there. On the rims, that's insane. How does that even happen? He said he hit a curb or something. So what, they're blown out, whatever. His blood alcohol level was 0.179, which was later, by the way, because he refused to do a breathalyzer test at the scene. They took him back to the police department, asked for a breath sample there, and he refused to do it. So they got a warrant for a blood draw. So I assume it went down a little bit.
Yeah.
In that case. But that's still double the limit.
Yeah. So he pleaded guilty to this, for those who are wondering. The charging document that said as an aggravated offender, because he'd had several of these, he would be required to serve 60 days incarceration before being eligible for probation.
Yeah.
And he is now scheduled to be sentenced next month. So he's not been sentenced yet in Clay County Circuit Court. Again, this happened back in 20. This is 2 years old now, and he'll be sentenced next month. And he's not employed anymore, but he was until not that long ago. And we don't know what happened. We don't know if he quit or if he was fired or what happened here.
Yeah.
But I want to be clear that if we're going to have the debate about, you know, charged versus convicted, he was convicted. I mean, he's just hasn't been sentenced yet. So. And they have multiple other cases that are listed here.
Again, it's a problem.
The Star says there was a firefighter charged with sodomy and rape in 2023 who then pleaded guilty to harassment and was sentenced to 3 years probation. There was another firefighter charged in 2024 with two felonies for allegedly, I remember we talked about this, urinating on a female coworker's personal and professional belongings and remained on the job after body slamming a woman to the pavement and punching her repeatedly during a road rage incident. They have a bunch of these, including those that we have talked about. Dominic Biscari was the firefighter who pleaded guilty a couple of years ago after there was that deadly crash involving a fire truck in Westport. He pleaded guilty to three counts of involuntary manslaughter. And he was on the job for a while. Fire department announced their intention to fire him. That's when the union followed the grievance to block the termination. He got a 3-day unpaid suspension for causing that fatal crash.
So there's a quote in here from Bratcher Gockel, Aaron Vernon, who is a partner at Bratcher Gockel LC, a law firm. And he sums up exactly how I feel about this. I'm from a union family, my family all heavily involved in railroad unions. And I generally am very supportive of unionizing. I think collective bargaining is one of the most powerful tools that you have as an employee. But he says this, generally, I think unions are great for American workers, and I have great respect for so much of what they've accomplished for their members, which I agree with. He said, but where unions fall short is in their dogged defense of members who have violated not only an employer's policy, but also the law. Preserving the employment of lawbreakers and repeat offenders tarnishes the reputations of all members, erodes the public's trust, and endangers the safety of coworkers and the public. The city's foremost duty is to protect and ensure the safety of the public. 100%. And that, we're going to get into this, I believe, with a caller in just a minute. If you're a firefighter, there is a higher standard that you're being held to.
Many jobs, I think, have a higher standard and should.
Yeah.
Teachers are held to a higher standard.
Cops are held to a higher standard. And the reason for that is because you are serving the public interests.
And
so if you can't handle your private life and you can't demonstrate an ability to control yourself in your private life, then that actually does transfer to how you're dealing with the public.
Yeah. And I'll throw some questions out there to think about. The fact that this guy in particular, the one that we're talking about, it was a captain and in leadership.
Yeah.
And what kind of leader is that? If now again, they're firefighters, not cops. So it's not like, you know, you're not practicing what you preach, but what kind of leadership is that? And some might say it's fine because he wasn't on duty when these things happened. It wasn't in a fire truck when these things happened. How many, if you're going to have some grace for somebody and give them more chances, how many more chances do you give them? Again, this guy had 4 DWIs at that point. Do you only count felonies? Do you only care about violent crimes? What do you care about? And I would ask yourself, you know, if your house is on fire, do you care about the personal life of the guy holding the hose or the woman holding the hose, as long as they're good at holding the hose and getting your fire out?
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Norm in Blue Springs. Hey, Norm.
How you doing?
Hi.
I don't agree with that, getting all these DWIs. But at the same time, you got to separate yourself from off-duty situations to being employed and taking care of your job. And I have a hard time with it. It's not a union deal. You need, if the boss finds out about it, he can offer assistance on maybe getting you some help. Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay, so would you feel comfortable getting onto a plane knowing the pilot had 4 DUIs?
It's like, you know, if I'm a Democrat or a Republican.
Uh-huh.
Now, I voted this way, but I didn't vote that way.
What is it? I'm confused.
It's the same thing, because I drink Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Uh-huh.
But I don't drink every day.
Sure. Okay, thanks for your call, Norm. No idea where that was going. Here's the thing. There are people on the text line pushing back on this too. Like, his getting DWI shouldn't affect his job. It's a 4th DWI.
And maybe one shouldn't.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Maybe one shouldn't.
I'll agree with that one shouldn't.
But 4 should.
And it's also, it does matter what type of job you have. And I know that there is instinctively, there's a neural pathway that we've carved, especially those of us who were alive and aware during 9/11. There's a neural pathway we've carved, which reflexively protects firefighters because they are they're heroes. They're doing this. And I worked with the volunteer fire department.
My mom was a volunteer firefighter for many years
in Illinois. So I don't get it twisted. I'm not anti fire department. That would be an insane position to have. What I am is somebody who believes that you're held to a higher standard. I actually believe that about this job. I think that if you found out that I was beating my wife, and if I was getting a bunch of DUIs and was having it and was addicted to crack and I don't know, go into prostitutes and stuff, how could you possibly be okay with me then coming on air and talking about news stories in an objective way? Or if we talked about domestic violence, knowing that that's in my past, knowing that that's in my history. It's one of the reasons why Rush Limbaugh was so derided by so many people for doing drugs. It wasn't the fact that he was a drug addict.
Yeah.
It was the fact that he was somebody saying we should give drug addicts the death penalty. Meanwhile, he was snorting OxyContin.
Yeah. So as I go back, and I go back and forth about this a little bit, because part of me thinks, again, as I go back to my, as long as they get the fire out, do you care that they're holding the hose? You know, what their background was? Part of me says no. Part of me says, as long as they're a good firefighter, I don't care. The other part of me says, when you get four DWIs, that's bad judgment. There is a flaw in your judgment there. And are you applying that flaw in judgment also in your job as a firefighter? Also, DWI, you drive fire trucks.
Yeah.
And you're getting DWIs. That's when you asked him about your pilot having.
Right.
No, absolutely not. That's why there are some jobs that have stricter rules about what, you know, if you're a truck driver, there are very strict rules about if you get a DUI, you're done. And maybe that's how it should be.
Yeah. I mean, think about applying that to anybody else that's in a safety position. Mm-hmm. Would you be okay with a school bus driver?
Right.
With that many DWIs. They don't have them on the job.
Mm-hmm.
That's too early in the morning.
Yeah, they weren't driving a school bus.
Right. They weren't driving a school bus at the time, but they were, you know, they did have a double the limit, and it's their fourth one. It's a felony DWI.
Yeah.
Seriously? Or a surgeon. Or we would apply that to every single one. And you might say, I don't care. But if you were the one going under the knife, I guarantee you would care if you found out that your surgeon had a crap load of DUIs.
What should the line be? Because I feel like this went over the line.
Yeah.
Now, again, he's not been sentenced yet. So if you wanted to wait and fire him, I'm okay with waiting and making the decision about employment after you know from a court if that person is guilty or not. Because I don't like the idea. Sometimes people are charged and the system gets it wrong or the charges don't stick. Fine. You want to wait until there's a verdict somehow. But in this case, there was.
Yeah. Let's go to Ashley in Northland. Hey, Ashley.
Hey, guys. This is one of the problems I see with our criminal justice system. Justice is not blind. It sees one color, green. There is no reason for anybody to have four DUIs. If you have four DWIs, period. If you do, then you've got a problem and you need to seek help. I do hold firefighters and police in a higher regard because they are public servants. I hope that this guy gets the help that he needs. But if I'm in my personal vehicle, I'm a driver. I'm a professional driver. If I'm in my personal vehicle and I get a speeding ticket in my personal vehicle, that can affect my job. So why should it be any different for somebody who's a firefighter and whose job is much more important than mine and should be held to a higher standard than my job? Why should it be any different from them? I have to go and get my driving record pulled every year for my boss's insurance, for me to be insured to drive my truck. That's the insurance company's policy. Why is that not the same for firefighters that are driving city vehicles?
Yeah, thanks, Ashley. Here's the other thing I'll point out is, do I care as much about a driving or DWI charge for a firefighter? They drive fire trucks, but it's not the biggest part of their job. Do I care more if a firefighter has been convicted of arson? Which has happened. I mean, that happens all the time.
I mean, you mentioned it because that's the star story on this. And, you know, the dramatic one is mm-hmm. the DWIs. But the firefighter is accused of assaulting women.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also, that's definitely not something that's okay. So your job, a lot of times, is to help the public.
And to go into people's houses.
Yeah.
The first one on the scene.
I don't want you with a violent history and a violent profile. I mean, some jobs are just jobs.
Yeah.
Some jobs are, if you're a cashier, it's because they don't involve the public trust.
Right.
You know, they don't involve public safety. When your choices create repeated, documented safety risks, the employer's duty then shifts from you to the people that they serve.
Let me tell you, when I was teaching, it was very clear, and I don't know what the rules are in Missouri and Kansas now, but when I got my license in Illinois, it was very clear. You get any kind of felony, and at that time a DUI was, you will never teach again.
Yeah.
And they don't care if it was for child abuse or robbing a store. It doesn't matter. And yeah, just because you're working with kids, and you don't want somebody like that there.
Let's go to Jim in Topeka. Hey, Jim.
Hello there.
Hi.
There's something that we're missing here. If that guy's that much of a chronic drinker, he would be showing up at the office at least smelling of alcohol at some time. If you're answering an emergency situation, you have to blow zeros. No alcohol in your system at all if you're answering an emergency call. So we have a larger problem than just arguing about his DUIs. We have a bigger problem of, was he drinking on the job or have alcohol in the system when that he answered emergency situation.
Yeah.
So this situation needs to be dug into quite a little bit more heavily.
I agree 100%. And you know what? What's crazy is, speaking of unions, and thanks for your call, Jim. Speaking of unions, when I worked at the railroad, we had to do urine drops all the time. All the time. Like, and they were, they would claim they were random. They weren't random. It was weird. We always had to do these drops the day after Cinco de Mayo,
right,
the day after St. Patrick's Day, the New Year's Day, you know,
yeah,
make sure you were sober on New Year's Day and not drunk from the night before. We would have to do those drops. And if you were found to have alcohol in your system, you were sent home and suspended. How the hell did I have higher standards at the railroad than the fire department has?
Better union for the fire department.
Maybe.
I suspect. Because I don't know if they have to be tested or not.
913-586-7798. Take more of your calls and texts coming up on Midday.
Talk about the story out of the Kansas City Star. Sentencing is set for next month for a now former captain in the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, who is, he's not working there now, but he kept working there for 16 months after he got his fourth DWI in 10 years. So he got four of them in the court. And during that entire time, he was working for KCFD, and they didn't... Let me rephrase what I just said. We don't know why he's no longer with KCFD.
Yeah.
We don't know if he was fired or if he quit, because that's not been revealed.
Again, and we're getting some most of the texts agree that anybody with DWIs should be suspended or fired, if you, whether you're a firefighter or not. I just remember when I was working for Pizza Hut back in the early 2000s as a delivery driver. I got a speeding ticket on the way back. Katie and I were on vacation in Ohio. We were driving back. I was trying to get the hell out of Ohio and got a speeding ticket. And then a couple weeks later, when I came back home, got a ticket because a cop said I rolled a stop sign. I did not. I'll define that, but whatever. Said I rolled the stop sign, so I got a ticket. Because I got two tickets, Pizza Hut suspended me. Said I couldn't drive anymore for another 2 months because I had two tickets in a one-year period. Pizza Hut had higher standards than the fire department.
You didn't have a union representing you. And this is the power of the union, to which I would say, and we're not attacking firefighters. Again, my mom was a volunteer firefighter for a very long time. We're pro firefighter, but I am against bad judgment. And when you get four DWIs in 10 years, that is bad judgment. That is somebody who needs help and is not getting it. And how does any union defend that person keeping their job?
From 2278, this town drinks, Jamie.
Not period. Everybody drinks.
If every KC worker with a DWI got fired, half the city would be unemployed.
First of all, that's not true. Not everybody drinks. And I, this guy got four of them. Maybe, you know, give him one, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you put him on probation and you say, if you get another one, you're done. So and also, let's not assume that everybody who drinks has gotten a DWI.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't.
But, you know, I mean,
it's not that hard.
A lot of people drink and don't drive.
And also, I think, in case you missed the story, the guy wasn't just drunk.
Yeah.
He had double the legal limit well after he had stopped drinking.
Yeah.
Because he refused to do a breathalyzer test at the scene, and then they did a blood draw back at the precinct. Second of all, he was driving his truck without tires on the passenger side because he'd hit a curb and they'd blown out.
And
he
going.
Still kept driving. So don't sit there and be like, no, I mean, it was just an innocent mistake.
What if that was your boss? What if you work for the KC Fire Department and that's your boss?
Yeah. And you're supposed to be, you're supposed to have safety drills. You're supposed to be talking to him about proper rig maintenance, all that stuff. No.
And set a good example.
913-586-7798. Let's go to the phone. Let's go to Trisha in Kansas City. Hey, Trisha.
Hi, Trisha
in Kansas City.
Hi. Hey. I just got a couple things. I would be more worried about the assault charges than the DWI.
Yeah.
My thing is, I wonder if they had legal grounds to fire them. I know I'm part of a union in Kansas City area, and we can't just be fired for just whatever.
That's
so
nice.
I wonder if that's what their holdback is, or what makes me suspicious, because that there's bad corruption going on. I mean, there's some nasty things going on in there. Is there nepotism, the old good old boys club, and they're all covering each other tiny? Or is there some corruption going on? And Big Boy knows that if he fired somebody else, that they're going to swap on them.
That's a possibility. Thanks for your call. And you are right. Like, I don't know that I would necessarily say I don't like contrasting evils,
right?
Or moral failings. I definitely think the assault charges against the other firefighters are particularly heinous. Body slamming a woman to the ground, the other one urinating on her personal effects and work stuff, workstation. Obviously disgusting, horrible things. As far as their ability, that's all I care about. How it affects their ability to do their job. Like, at the end of the day, people are allowed to make mistakes. People are allowed to do stupid stuff. The law is who we rely on to take care of that. But if you're entrusted with the public's trust, then you just have to be held to a higher standard.
And the public money is paying your salary. And I feel like it's okay when your position is taxpayer funded for you to have a little more say in the standard that they're held to.
4411, PTSD is real. You need to see what they see. And if you did, you'd self-medicate too. Treat the injury, don't take their career. Okay, you don't have the right to self-medicate at the cost of the public safety.
Also,
self-medicate at home, nobody would care about it. Nobody cares if you're drunk at home, so long as you're not taking it to the streets.
Also, don't take away from people. We have no idea if you have PTSD. Don't take away from people that genuinely do and are able to heal and manage that very serious illness without getting 4 DWIs in 10 years. You know,
but what is this is a dumb comment, but what is the difference between a DUI and a DWI?
I don't know. It's driving under the influence. Well, driving while intoxicated is alcohol. DUI
is driving under the influence of,
but it could be anything.
Yeah.
DUI could be under the influence of anything.
The municipality thing.
It might be.
Can you get a DUI? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jonathan in Kansas City. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, so, you know, you're right. This is a public position. And, you know, with public positions, whether it's a cop, teacher, firefighter, national security, you are held to a much higher standard. Even with things that you could argue, well, is it really related to the job? Let me give you an example. You know, I guess with a lot of public positions like this, they have fitness tests, which, you know, you could argue, well, the person can't control it and it's not fair. I think that's more related to job. But a great example that I was going to bring up was, you know, a lot of these public jobs, they do credit checks. And you could say, well, it's really nobody's business how you do your finances. You know what? You can argue that all day long. But a lot of these jobs, they say, you know what? We are concerned that there's a risk that, you know, if you have bad finances, it could get in the way of your job performance, or you might be more likely to get bribed since you are working as a public official.
That's a good point.
You know, because someone could bribe you if they know you got bad financials. You could argue, well, that's not related. It should be none of their business. Listen, you agreed to what you agreed to when you took the job. If you don't want to do that, then you don't take the job. And the fact of the matter is, I agree with you guys, but the taxpayers are paying it. So they should have a say in, you know, with their standards. And if you're going to say, well, the standards are unfair, well, you know what? Life's not fair.
You know,
that's the way it is.
Jonathan, and it's a great point. And I think we have a bad sense of what accountability means in this country. We do that a lot. We're like, hey, that's not his fault because of this, or he had PTSD, or, you know, everybody in this town drinks, and we make excuses. Mm-hmm. And that's not love. Because you think, because there's a firefighter, and so many people on the text line are doing this right now, because he's a firefighter, he deserves more grace because he puts his life on the line. Yeah, we appreciate that. And I love people who do that. I have nothing but love and support for people who do that. But love doesn't mean making excuses for people. If you love your children, when they get in trouble, you hold them accountable. You don't start making excuses for them. And you guys on the text line making excuses for this guy sound just like a parent who's like, it's not my kid. It's not my kid's fault that he got an F. You're a bad teacher.
Yeah. In that case, pay them more. I mean, if they're worth that much to us because of the job and they put their lives on the line, let's better compensate them for that.
Yeah.
But you don't let them get away with more.
Right.
You know, you don't, I mean, unless we have a shortage of firefighters and we can talk about that, but you don't let them get away with more. Again, if we were talking about teachers, who are way underpaid. And the thing about teachers that they say is, well, you should just love it, you know, and you knew what you were getting yourself into. And, you know, And we need good teachers, so let's just let them get away with it. No, if they're working with your kids, you right. would hold them to a higher standard and be okay with that.
Four DUIs isn't a mistake. It's a pattern.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
And how many times did he drink and drive allegedly and not get caught?
Yeah.
You know, that's the concern too.
If a pilot or bus driver had four, they're gone. They're gone.
Yeah.
I would wager if you or I
was just going to say, if we had four,
which has nothing to do with this job, but if we had four, we'd be gone. Well, actually, I know that for a fact. There's an announcer for the St. Louis Cardinals who got busted for several DUIs.
Yeah.
And he was fired.
Because it's a lack of judgment.
Nothing to do with his job, but because it shows a lack of judgment and care for the public, you're gone.
And it makes, you know, remember, we all work for somebody. And it makes your employer look bad. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not fair, but we all work for somebody who has a reputation to protect. And so do firefighters. You know, we all work for somebody. And that can make you and your employer look bad.
All right. Coming up, let's change things up a little bit. Been pretty much serious all morning. a contraceptive pill for men. Get used to hearing this expression, ladies. Yeah, I'm on the pill. Yeah. No, I'm on the pill. I swear.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that next on Midday.
Out of the Telegraph, a third of men say they would take a contraceptive pill if one was available to them. We are getting very close to that. A new male contraceptive pill tested on British men in a... Their writing on this is horrible. Sorry. It is, for the first time, we have a new male contraceptive pill that is safe to use.
Yeah.
They've got some words in there that don't belong there. So they did a trial on this contraceptive for men that basically blocks a protein needed to produce sperm. It doesn't affect hormones. It doesn't affect your testosterone levels. And when you stop taking it, everything goes back to normal very quickly. So you don't have to worry about, you know, the ability to.
So it doesn't alter hormone levels the same way that female birth control pills might.
Were you asking, does it alter? It just says.
Because that's one of the main knocks against female birth control is that the effect that it might have on hormones.
Yes. Will there be a male version of PMS and all that kind of stuff?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Probably not. But it is 99% effective. And they found that sperm levels returned to normal after the medication was stopped. So it's looking pretty good here. And it worked pretty well. There was no reduction in testosterone levels. I don't see where they say anything about side effects. That's the really bad thing about female birth control is the overwhelming side effects and the fact that there are so many different ones and they all act a little differently. Will men use it? A third of men say they would. But I think that was before we had one.
Okay, there's a couple of problems here. First of all.
Only a couple?
First of all, just the fact that this is available is a problem because it will lead men to say, I'm on that pill.
Yeah.
What's the name of it? Retinacapacitabinafine is what it is. Not knocking them up. File. That's the problem. It would be very easy for men to just say they're on the pill. So yes. Are women, are you going to demand, no, I need to see a prescription before we go to bed?
So that men don't have to use a condom, which they hate.
Right.
They'll just say they're on it. And so it'll still be on us.
Yes.
Either way, to be on birth control.
The fact that, I'm not even saying a guy would claim to be on it. And it's just that I'm saying that plenty of men will never even go to a doctor for it and just say that they're on it.
Right.
Because they don't want to put on a condom.
Right.
The other issue is even if a guy was on it, would you trust him to take the pill?
I don't know. Do men trust women to take the pill? We've always been expected to be in charge of birth control.
Well, it's,
you know, it's just, that's just been society's, that's just. Our path in society, we've just always been expected.
Because, and I'm not saying this is the mentality. I'm not saying that I agree with this. But I'm not saying I agree with this. I'm saying the mentality is, well, yeah, but you're stuck with the baby. So it should be.
Yes.
That's why.
You help produce the baby, right. But we are stuck with the baby. We will not, and I hate, it just is, it's just so incredibly unfair. Like, it's just so, but men also, I think, would balk at the idea of having to take a pill at the same time every single day.
That's what I'm saying.
Because you really have to take it at the same time every single day.
I know guys who've had heart attacks.
Yeah.
Who've been like, oh, they want me to take all these. Yeah, they want you to take a bunch of pills. You almost died, you idiot. Of course they want you to take some blood thinners. My God. And what is the problem with that exactly? Well, they make me a little sleepy. You know what else makes you sleepy? Death.
Keep in mind,
makes you real tired.
Men can get a vasectomy. Yeah. And it's reversible. Mm. So if you just ultimately want birth control, and a lot of men won't even do that, let alone take a pill.
Actually, that occurred to me. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. How many guys are just lying about getting a vasectomy?
Yeah, and just don't want a vasectomy. Men hate going to a doctor, so you're asking them to go to the doctor more. I don't think we're going to get anywhere with men voluntarily doing birth control on a regular basis until we get an equivalent, whatever it is, for men of the IUD for women, where it's one thing. I know I'm just looking at your face. Where you get a form of birth control that goes into your body one time and works for 8 years.
Oh God.
Listen, I've never given birth, but it is the most, and I'm on my second IUD. And I wish I had done it in my early 20s because it used to only be good for 5 years. Now they're good for 8.
Sure.
It is. You don't have to think about it ever again. It's birth control. That's 99.9% effective. You don't have to think about it again. It is, though, the most painful, yes, aching, horrifying experience ever.
Well, and
but for you guys, I don't know.
Where would it go?
I don't know where. Because for us,
the
biology is not the same. Yeah, so I don't know exactly where yours is going.
It goes in. The urethra is not very wide. Okay?
Neither is the cervix.
Yeah, but it's a lot wider than the urethra.
And as we go very much into graphic things, and we're sorry we did not give you the warning, for some women, as if you were not grossed out before, for some women, that little opening is not big enough to get in there, because you got to take a really big device and go in there and then put this Y-looking thing in there.
Yep.
And you got to open that hole more. And we don't use anesthesia for this. There's a big movement, thank God, in the anesthesiology community to put you under for that procedure, because that's how painful it is.
I would have to be so drunk before you could even approach me with the idea.
Well, that's the point at which we'll put you under for it.
Yeah.
The point at which there is an equivalent for men is the point at which a man will say, okay, now we're going to put you under to do this procedure.
I do agree with you, obviously, 100% that men, it's just ridiculous having that option out there of vasectomy, and yet women are the ones in charge of birth control. Women have to put in IUDs.
All the hormonal changes, and you gain weight on birth control, and you know, for a week, a month, you're just in pain. And we're expected to work every single day that we're sitting here in all of this pain. And it's different for women. And girls have to do it starting when they're young in school. And it's just, and men don't have to go through any of that. We just need you to do this one thing.
Yeah.
Just this one thing.
I haven't gotten one. We haven't really talked about it that much, other than I think I offered at one point to get one, and Katie was like, no, that's fine.
But you guys are married, you know, do what you know, it's you're in a committed relationship. If you had another baby,
well, I think at the end of the day, she has an IUD. And at the end of the day, I think she just was like, it's easier for me to just get this removed than it would be for you to get a vasectomy reversed.
Yeah. As long as one of you has, you know, she has the IUD, so you don't have to worry about it. Plus, you're not worried about STDs.
Let's be honest. I'm such a baby that
all men are.
If I got one, I think this is the reason maybe women wouldn't want their husband to get one is because then it's like you owe him. And it's like, you know what I did for you, and you're telling me you're not in the mood.
Yeah.
Or you get a vasectomy in March, and you get to hang out with a can of a bag of frozen peas, and you get to watch basketball all weekend.
The March Madness. That's a lot of guys' vasectomies go, no pun intended, through the roof in March because of March Madness. Yeah. Let's go to Dustin in Warrensburg. Hey, Dustin.
How's it going, brother?
It's going great. You got a vasectomy, sir.
I did. My wife, when we had our second child, we agreed that if she had to have a C-section, she would get her tubes tied. If it was natural, I would get a vasectomy. Thankfully, everything was natural. The only complaint I had about the entire process was that receptionist was way too happy to schedule this appointment for me when I called. I was like, can we stop with the joking, man? This is a traumatic event right here. But real talk, though, literally, actually, it made my wife mad because they actually send you out a Valium to take before the procedure. Mm-hmm. And she's like, all they gave me was ibuprofen for giving childbirth.
Yeah.
But... no, literally, you did that. You go in. My wife was actually sitting in the room with me when mine was done. But going in, you don't feel anything. The only thing you feel is it feels like you got just like, and I don't know how else to say this effectively, barely tapped in the bad spot.
Okay.
Where you, as a guy, gotcha. You get that.
Like a fingernail flip. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. But other than that, you didn't feel anything. And I've had no side effects, no problems with it. Everything was great.
Voice didn't go higher or anything like that?
Nope. Not at all.
You should have, you know what though, when you first saw your wife, like, I don't know, it's been fine. There's been no side effects, honey.
Hey, Dustin.
It's been great.
Was it covered by insurance?
Yes.
See,
coverage.
There you go.
Are IUDs not covered by insurance?
They are. That's why I was asking. Is it also covered by insurance?
I would assume any female, because of ACA.
Yeah.
Is that an ACA thing, vasectomies?
I don't know. But it was fully covered.
Dustin.
And then you don't have to think about it anymore. You still have to think about STDs, but as long as you're in a committed relationship, then you don't have to think about it anymore. So
no,
why
totally,
not?
Totally on the pill.
No.
Totally.
Yeah.
I got the pill. No, that one
But
pill.
Some women, you know, it's not just that it messes with your hormones and stuff. There are some women that just can't take birth control.
Yeah.
And they just cannot do it. And so you need another form of birth control then.
Yeah. Well, it's also whatever pill is not 90, it's only, you know, it's not 100% effective.
Well, nothing's 100%.
Anything, a goalie can only take up so much of the net, you know?
Yes.
So to speak. All right, coming up, let's keep continuing about love and relationships. A dating app is controlling what users say in their profiles. For instance, you can't say, I'm not going to date Zionists. Wouldn't you want to know who you're dating before you date them? Should they allow hate speech in profiles? We'll talk about that next on Midday.
To the point that it matters, the app that we are talking about here is Grindr, which is for gay men to go find other men.
You would think they'd be more tolerant.
And they are putting some restrictions on what users can say in their profiles.
They allow any number of other phrases that state political, religious, and ethnic preferences, according to 404 Media's tests of the platform and user reports. But several users received an error message. Why would these people be complaining and outing themselves? But okay, no pun intended. An error message that says, quote, the following are not allowed. No Zionists or no Zionists, plural, when they tried to add the phrases to their bios on Thursday. The writer says they tried to test this themselves on a new Grindr account, received the same error. Quote, I was able to add Zionist to my profile without no, however, and could also add any phrase I could think of. No Arabs, no blacks, no Palestinians, no Muslims, no Christians, no Jews, no trans, no Republicans, no Democrats, and so on. But no Zionist was the only phrase that was blocked in my testing.
For those who don't know, what is a Zionist?
A Zionist is typically somebody, it's fraught with a little bit of peril here. A Zionist would be generally somebody who's thought to be supportive of Israel.
Okay.
But it also can just be code for any Jewish people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a bigger discussion about what should... I mean, the apps can do whatever they want in terms of, you know, what you can say and what you can't say in your profile. I obviously do not know what the Grindr profile looks like. So I don't know if when you put in your search functions, can you put in what you're looking for and what you're not in terms of certain affiliations? I have no idea.
I have no idea.
But a lot of apps will let you do that. You can put in, here are the 35 options for what you're looking for, and you can narrow that down a little bit.
I think it's funny that the writer had to point out that it was a new account.
My new account.
This is a new account.
In case my mom is reading this.
I also kind of wondered, and I don't have answers to this yet, if it comes down to who owns Grindr, you know, and if they have.
Yeah, like, because again, the bigger point, is banning free speech, mm-hmm. but also it is weird that it was like, hey, you can say no Democrats, no Republicans, no Palestinians, all that. But when then Zionists specifically was targeted as something you couldn't say. But again, my broader question, though, is when it comes to a private company, they have the right to police however mm-hmm. they want. They can ban this legally. That's fine. They can censor all they want. But is it a good idea for a dating app to be censoring? Is it? Wouldn't you want?
Or should it all be out there?
Wouldn't you yeah. want somebody in their profile to say that they are against or anti-Semitic or they're against Zionists, however you want to couch it, or Palestinians or Republicans or Democrats or blacks or whites or any? Wouldn't you yeah. want that in there? Because it's not the same as going on Twitter and having some Nazi promoting account where you're promoting right. the ideas of that and trying to spread that, which is, I think, not only allowed but encouraged on Twitter these days. Mm-hmm. It's just a personal, you're meeting these people or yeah. you're trying to find people with like-minded ideals. So what's the harm in letting somebody be racist on Grindr?
Yeah, especially because Grindr has a reputation for, and again, I have no idea if this is true, but for being a place where men are not going to find meaningful relationships necessarily.
Yes, it's a hookup app.
So do you care necessarily about some of that? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I want to know if you wouldn't believe how many men put as their profile picture on other dating apps, their profile picture is them with the biggest gun they've ever found.
Right.
I want to know that.
You want to know?
I want to know that that's... That you are willing to make that as your profile picture
right.
because I'm immediately not interested then.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to make that the first thing I find out about you, I don't want to know anymore.
That's right. That openness is exactly what should be going on in these apps.
Right.
Because you're not promoting those ideals. You're not promoting negative. Or if you get on there, you'd want to have... whatever your political ideology, or if you have a food preference,
yeah.
if you're a vegan or something, yeah. I would want to know that. So, yeah.
Also, the new owners of Grindr are straight, which is interesting. It's owned by San Vicente Acquisition LLC, an American investment group, which bought Grindr from a Chinese gaming company.
Maybe I'll have my next big gay umbrella. I'll have a QR code with my Grindr profile on it. Coming up. Is cursing around kids okay? I think Jamie and I disagree on this because I don't really care. We'll talk about it next on Midday.